It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast. I don't know why I'm sounding so chirpy on this Monday morning. The weekend went way too fast, but we've got more property news, trends and information to talk about, haven't we? As heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon this morning. Yes, I hope you had a fantastic weekend, whatever you were involved with, especially around real estate. And a Monday, yes, May the 13th today. And just a reminder, if you've got a suggestion and would like to get in touch with us, our email address is myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking more about the sustainable housing and living, which is a subject that we were talking about a few weeks ago. And it was a fascinating discussion because so many of us are simply not getting the basics on sustainable house design right. Some will say that we are miles off the pace when it comes to other countries, and they would be right. If you're planning right now a new house design, this conversation coming up next is one that you will not want to miss out on. And go back a few weeks ago to April the 22nd to hear part one of this conversation. So let's welcome back this morning Shannon Battison to help unlock some more information on making a home more sustainable, especially more warmer in winter. And Shannon, I felt that we really did have to get you back this morning because we just didn't cover everything the first time round.
No, we couldn't stop talking. Thank you so much for having me back.
Now, I wanted to talk about this whole shift towards sustainability and high energy ratings, which is influenced in part by rising living costs. But not all people, Shannon, can actually afford to do this, which I'm imagining is hugely frustrating. I get that, but the household income, it can only stretch so far.
Yeah, I think it's a really big issue for us to deal with as a society. I think one of the things that I get really frustrated with, I do a lot of advocacy to government about increasing the support for sustainable design measures in our homes. And one of the things that I find really, really frustrating and difficult for myself to wrap my head around is that we often try and save money and build in the most kind of economic way we can our housing for our most vulnerable. So if we look at our social housing and our affordable housing, we're often trying to build that in the cheapest way possible. And yet what that means is that we're putting the people who can least afford the health complications of getting sick within your home or huge energy bills at a time when our energy bills are just increasing and increasing, we're putting that cost onto the people who can least afford it. When it comes to the rest of us, though, I do think that what we need is a government that really embraces the fact that these changes have to happen. And so we need more government support, I think, for us to actually ensure that everybody who's building a new house or everybody who's renovating an older house has access to some of the really basic sustainability measures that will make such a huge difference to all of us as a society and how much energy we use keeping our towns and cities going.
Yeah, it's one of those ones politically. They want to get in behind it, but of course there is all this cost factor if there are rebates, if there are incentives to do it. And on that note, let's just take a look at different jurisdictions because there are different things that are on offer.
Absolutely. I think I'm based in the ACT, and the ACT government has famously been quite proactive when it comes to sustainability. And so you notice in the ACT that we have a lot of rebates for switching over to electric vehicles, for example. And we also have a lot of rebates available for people who are living in old Canberra houses, which are famously uncomfortable in our climate, to make changes, to use less electricity. So they've had support to switch over from the old halogen lighting to LED lighting. We've had rebates to help increase insulation levels in our older houses. And there are rebates available, of course, for the provision of solar panels on rooftops. I live in a suburb where it's a new suburb, and actually solar panels on the roof of your house were mandatory, and you had to pay for them as part of paying for your block in order to build. And I think that there's those measures getting us some of the way, but we really need a government to commit and be very brave, I think, in how they support households to actually invest in these things that actually save all of us down the track.
Yeah, no, well spoken. And, you know, these features, they can include, of course, insulation, the double glazing coupled with extensive solar panel coverage that you talked about to significantly cut energy costs. Those are all of the ones that we know about. But what about some of the aspects that people might not have thought about when it comes to sustainability?
Look, I think orientation of your house is actually the single biggest thing that we've lost sight of, that's not in any way new, but that makes such a huge difference to the amount of energy and the amount of comfort available in your home. So one of the things that we do a lot of work with is having clients who have committed to build a volume build, for example, and they get us in to have a look at that build. And it's a really simple kind of effort to go through to have a look at that plan on the specific block that they are going to build it and make sure that the windows are going on the right side of the house. So not even necessarily upgrading the windows if the budget can't afford it, but making sure those windows go on the right side of the house so that they're not going to be weak spots in the performance of the house, making sure that insulation is going where it really, really needs to go. And that kind of, you know, whole of community thinking, I think there's a real reticence between architects and builders at times. I think we've got a real thing to overcome, because I think when it comes to sustainability, what we need is homeowners, government, builders and architects all working together to make sure that those really simple things that actually probably don't cost anything at all get thought about before we start, you know, work on site.
I know that people listening will be thinking, really? You know, the window's going in the wrong place. But that is a fundamental basic mistake that is happening multiple times every day right across Australia. People are building these homes where they're just not, as you say, thinking about basic things like windows. And it really does sort of boggle the mind. It also applies to sustainability, how people don't know all the facts, how people are, in a lot of aspects, are in the dark when it comes to this.
Yeah, it does. And it's not for a lack of information out there, but I think one of the things that we come up against is that people find it a bit daunting, the level of information that's out there. There's some really great Facebook pages that talk about, you know, efficiency in housing and lots of great, you know, social media accounts that you can follow to kind of get tips. But one of the best things I find to help clients who are really early in that journey of understanding what, you know, could help is government resources like the Your Home website. So something that just really breaks it down to, here are some principles about making sure you put the windows on the right side of the house so that they get good sunlight in and they're easy to protect from bad sunlight. Making sure you put insulation in your builds. Believe it or not, there's plenty of houses that get built around Australia to this day that don't have insulation. Making sure that you use the best windows that your budget can afford, and then making sure you actually plant a garden around your house. One of the things that I think is the most difficult, especially in our new suburbs where we're getting really difficult effects of heat island effect, is that people surround their house with concrete. And on really hot summer days and when we're getting longer and longer heat periods, all of that concrete just heats up and then releases that heat back into your house. And the good old-fashioned idea of having garden beds, a little bit of grass maybe, but most importantly, some deciduous trees will make such a huge difference to how well your house performs and also make it a much nicer space to be in and look out into a garden.
Yeah, and with that niceness, you know, talking about just how nice the sustainable house can be, I think the other aspect is that people might not just realise how comfortable and nice it can be to live in.
I think it's the easiest thing to mistake. I think I'd been running my own practice for probably 6 or 7 years before I lived in a house that I had designed specifically for myself and my family. And one of the things that actually caught me off guard was that coming out of an old Canberra house, I hadn't realised how much of my own personal energy I expended every day bringing the kids home from daycare, keeping them in their coats because it would be -2 inside the house, trying to get the fire going and the heating going. And it would be half an hour, 45 minutes minutes before the house was warm enough for me to take the children's coats off. And I remember the first day coming home on a really cold, blustery winter's day into our very small, really beautiful, high-performing house, opening the door and realizing that the house was already sitting at 21 degrees because it had been quite sunny. And there was nothing I had to do other than, you know, start our evening. And that level of, you know, relaxation and care and comfort really makes just monumentally huge difference. And it can be really difficult to appreciate that until you've had the opportunity to experience it.
I'm just thinking on the fly, I don't know what it's called. So when you do a traditional build, they call it sticks and fluff. And then there's these panels that they can build. What is that called again?
Do you mean SIPS panels, the structurally insulated panels?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because exactly what you were just saying in terms of you come home and it's just so warm. I remember seeing a video, this is only last year, and somebody was just drawing the comparison with the SIPS build compared to what they had before, and it was a completely different sort of lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge change. And it, even for somebody like myself who does it for a living and spends my life convincing clients to try and do that little bit better every time, I hadn't appreciated just what it felt like to walk in the door and be instantly kind of relaxed and that feeling of being at home and being able to just unwind from the get-go. I mean, it's measurable and it just makes such a huge difference to people's lives.
And just how busy are you at the moment with your practice with sustainable builds? I mean, is it something that year on year you're noticing it's growing in your business?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we really noticed is after the Black Summer fires, traditionally we've been that firm where clients come to us because they like our projects and they get all of that sustainability built in, you know, really without them having to kind of understand too much about it other than how to operate the house when once it's built. And after the Black Summer fires, I think it became so clear in so many people's minds just how important having a house that doesn't leak constantly and in that instance leak, you know, smoke in and things like that. And so we had clients for the first time ever coming to us saying, okay, can we talk about how we make a house draft proof? How do we make a house? What windows do we need to buy to make them really airtight so that when we close the windows, be it smoke outside or heat or cold, we can really, you know, trust that it's actually going to stay enclosed inside. As horrific as they are, they were a real learning moment for us, I think, as a country about just how volatile our environment is and how much better we can do with our houses. So we're really fortunate to have lots of clients who trust us to take them on this journey. I really encourage people wherever they are around the country to get in touch with all the different types of people who can help guide them through these processes and you know, really give them the benefit of lots of years of experience in this area.
And of course, just going back to that first podcast that we did a few weeks ago, just to end up on so important, north facing.
Absolutely. If it's the one thing you get right, north facing is the best start that you can do.
All right. Well, great. I feel educated, Shannon. Thank you so much for coming back onto the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Part two of our discussion about sustainable living. Well overdue. Thanks for contributing.
Look, thanks so much for having me.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
You have your traditional investors who are really all about the longer term capital growth. And we've got this new investor who's more about looking at buying a property as a stepping stone for the future that they may live in down the track.
Yeah, that is the real irony here, because there will be these investors that have done the rent vesting with absolutely no instinct or desire to live in that area, as you say. And then circumstance catches up and they find themselves having to live in this particular property. Have you found that?
A lot of these investors or rent vesters are now looking at buying a suburban house as distinct from a unit as their first investment property, and potentially down the track, they're open to living in that property. What they're looking for is a little bit different from your traditional investor who's all about the longer term capital growth.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.